After 30-odd years studying and working in the city of Melbourne, in the Melbourne CBD to be precise, you have decided to stand for elections for the city of Melbourne. Why?
Thank you, Dina. That is exactly my reason for standing for the elections for Melbourne, is that I have been in the CBD for so long. So it's a bit more than 30 years, but I'm embarrassed to say how old I am. So one of the reasons for standing for election is I've seen a lot of change happening in those 30 years. The city has grown. The city has become a very popular place, and it's a magnificent place to be. There is good reason why we have been voted as the world's most livable city, and that's one of the reasons why I'm interested in being part of that change in the future, because I think there's a lot more that we can do. We can't rest on our laurels, and I want to be part of that change.
You are on a ticket which is running against the current Lord Mayor. Why did you decide to go that way? I suspect someone asked you, okay,
Yes,
and
I
it was from
will.
that side rather than the Robert Doyle side.
That's correct. And it's interesting that Robert Doyle has a very, very high profile in the city, and he has done a lot of good things for Melbourne. But I'm also of the opinion that the Lord Mayor's position shouldn't be more than 2 terms. So he's done his 8 years, and it's really time for some change. We have to make sure that the person who is in our leadership team and actually leading the city is there for the city and not really for their own politics. And that's one of the reasons why I'm interested in local government, is that I think it should be beyond the political realm of the certain parties that run. Our group is quite a diverse ticket. Our political beliefs are very diverse. Our backgrounds in our careers are diverse, gender diverse, cultural diversity. We're accommodating all those levels. And I think as a team, we're a good mix in order to form a team to take the city to the next level, to the next stages.
What are the main issues that you are concerned about?
There are so many issues in the city of Melbourne, and the one that I think is dear to my heart and really in the face of everyone as you walk down the street is the increase of homeless people that we see on the streets. And that's I think that is the main issue facing the city today. And we really need to have a way, not out of it. I don't think there is an answer to the homeless situations, but we really need to be dealing with the people at street level. We need to find out why each individual is actually homeless in the first place, because I think a lot of them are actually dealing with a lot of mental health issues, and we have a lot of services that provide for these people, but somehow we just can't get them into those services. So the city needs to be very active in being an advocate for these people and really assisting them in the way that is assisting them the best, and not just getting them off the street, but actually assisting them in a much more holistic way. We don't seem to be doing that at the moment. At the moment, the only way is to package them off to some sort of accommodation. And I think homelessness is more than just providing accommodation. It's providing a much more social need.
Robert Doyle has done, as you said before, many good things for the city of Melbourne. Under Robert Doyle, Melbourne has been voted over and over again as the most livable city in the world. What incentives does a voter in the city of Melbourne have to vote your ticket and
Well,
vote you?
and vote me. Well, thank you, Dan. And that's the most important question, I think, is what how can we do better?
Apart from the obvious that there is always room for improvement.
Well, that was my main issue. But I think the city is not really about Robert Doyle. The city is about the people that reside in the city, the businesses in the city, and the people who come here every day. And Melbourne has been voted the most livable city, but we need to work on that and build on it so that we continue to be voted. So we need to start advocating for more education opportunities within the city. We already are a very big education precinct as far as tertiary education goes. However, with the increase in population in the CBD, we also need to be accommodating schools, childcare, kindergartens. Schools is not traditionally a council-run facility, but we can lobby state government in order to provide facilities within the CBD, and I think that's very important for us to do that. schools is one of the issues. The other big issue is actually security and safety in the city. And until we actually start looking at the ground level of what happens in the city and making the whole of the city accessible, and by that I mean people of all diverse backgrounds and all disabilities can actually achieve movement right throughout the city. And I think that's probably the next level of where we need to get to maintain, not only to maintain our status as the most livable city, but to actually be ahead of the world. So we need to really be looking at ideas all the time to be one step ahead of the world.
So what can the council do? Create more police, or, you know, a local council police force? Or?
No, it's got nothing to do with police. I think we...
Talking about safety in the city.
Safety, look, the safety in the city, there are measures that we can take that are actually designed into the city fabric. For instance, within our urban design guidelines, we need to make sure that there's no dark spaces. And that's not just in terms of lighting. It's got to be in terms of creating spaces that are supervised by the buildings around them so that there is no space where someone where something can happen. You know, so we create spaces that are always self-supervised. And as we develop our city, we need to be implementing these ideals to make sure that we're eliminating all opportunities for unsafe behaviour. So, and this is what I'm talking about, actually working at the ground level rather than just looking at the height of buildings. I think we really need to get back to that urban design and what happens with people on the ground.
Can I ask this question, which is, for me, it's a burning question because I've been studying and working in the city of Melbourne, in the CBD, for many years. And I used to shop in the CBD. I learned English at a place on Elizabeth Street, opposite Victoria Market. And I loved Victoria Market and I loved doing my shopping at Victoria Market. However, over the years, parking has become a nightmare, not only to find, but if you find parking, it is very expensive. What can you do about that?
There's a couple of things that the city can do. The first thing is that we really don't want more cars into the city. So I don't know if it's a matter of finding more parking. What we have to do is make alternatives achievable and actually affordable. So if you're going to bring your car into the city to park for us, we're not really encouraging people to bring their cars into the city. What we need to do is increase the opportunities for transport into the city. That, again,
for those who don't want to take transport into the city for a number of reasons, and I think that was the rationale that it was given when the fees for parking have increased that much, that the authority said that, and I think it was local council, if I remember correctly, it was saying that we don't want people to be driving into the city. We want to discourage that. However, I find that great many people have been discouraged altogether from coming to the city to do their shopping. It's not easy to walk to the train station or the tram station when you're carrying shopping.
This is a very complex issue, and it's a very difficult one for me to answer to you in a straight manner. The level of congestion in the city at the moment is to a level where we're not really encouraging more traffic into the city. So the state government is now preparing the city for the next extensions to the railway links. The station that would go under Swanson Street would serve the market area very well. In fact, it's designed to service most of that corridor. And the links with buses and other car parks outside the city that link up with that transport link is very important. As far as bringing more cars into the city, at the moment that's not a council policy, and we would need to be doing a lot more research into that to see if we could bring more cars into the city, how do we create less congestion. So it is all about congestion, it is all about transport, it is all about convenience. And it is about a lot of people. We are heading towards 5 million and we need to give a lot more thought. So it's not only the market that's an issue. The market's a very topical issue at the moment. It's how do we get people back into the shopping in the city as well. And for our city to prosper, we've got to make sure that we don't have that bus that goes out to Chadstone every day. We want people to start to stay in the city and shop in the city. We've got a lot of tourists coming in every day. We've got a large population who is living within the CBD and in the Melbourne City Council area, and we want them doing their shopping in our area. We don't want them going out to the other outer areas. So how do we get, my biggest question is, how do we get rid of the Chadstone bus? Maybe we hijack it.
Can you? Maybe you can't.
No, maybe we can't. But how do we discourage people from using it? Because that leads on to, how do we make the city more prosperous? How do we make sure our businesses are thriving? How do we make sure startups want to come into the city without pricing them out of the market?
That's a big issue, and I suspect it's very challenging, because on the one hand, you don't want to encourage traffic into the city and more cars coming into the city, but on the other hand, you want to encourage more people coming into the city to do their shopping and not leaving.
That's why
you're mentioning the example of the Chadstone bus.
Yeah.
But that's something that I imagine a lot of people are thinking about it. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, you're an experienced architect, so you talked a lot about buildings and designing. How can you help with your experience once you're elected on the council? Because you will be one voice.
Yes, one voice. I've been dealing with the council from the opposite end as an applicant for many people in town planning issues for a long time. So I understand the planning scheme very well, not only in the CBD but mainly in the suburban areas. I understand the heritage issues very well. And I also understand how buildings are put together. And, of course, my passion is for building sustainable buildings. So we're talking about buildings that are, first of all, use a very, very low carbon footprint for construction in the first place, and then you have a very low energy use during their life. And I think my experience as an architect is to really bring those skills, so that we've got a critical eye of, when we've got applications coming through, how can we assess them and encourage developers to actually make sure they're employing sustainable issues. If I was to be elected, one of the things that I would like to do is really move towards creating a city that is claims to be a zero emissions city. Now, we can implement through our bylaws, we can implement issues to prepare buildings that are sustainably built and comply with certain regulations. But we also have to start getting, you know, heavy machinery out of the city that actually burn carbon fuel. We have to implement some sort of program for retrofitting older buildings, which are very heavily dependent on energy usage. And we also need to think about how we actually operate the city in terms of our own energy use. So street lighting and the power that goes into traffic lights and those everyday things that we just take for granted. And I think we really need to do a review of all that to actually really have a truly zero carbon city. So that's, as an architect, that's what I would be bringing on.
There is a street in the city of Melbourne, Lonsdale Street, which is the Greek precinct. There were many Greek cafes in the area, which all of them have actually moved out. The last couple of years, we are seeing a revival of the Lonsdale Street precinct, with the new building of the community and more Greek businesses coming and renting spaces in that building. So we see a strengthening of the Greek presence. How do you feel about this? And have you discussed or given any thoughts to the Lonsdale Street precinct?
It is such a shame for the city that the Lonsdale Street precinct has just been hijacked by others. And
it wasn't really hijacking. They saw an opportunity. Someone was moving out and they moved in.
Well, in actual fact, I think the Greeks moved out before anyone moved in. So and those businesses have moved elsewhere because I think that's got a lot to do with, there are very few first-generation Greeks in the city anymore. So those businesses were really catering to that community, and that community has moved on. Or like myself, we're mainly third generation. I'm a third generation Greek, so I'm not drawn to those Greek businesses the same way that my parents and my grandparents would have been. It's the nature of our city that we are multicultural, and it's not such a bad thing that the Greeks are intermingled with those different cultures. So the presence of the Greek community building on the corner there of Lonsdale and Russell Street is an icon for us. And of course, we've also got the Hellenic Museum up the other end of La Trobe Street, which is not so much an icon, but people now know that that's the Hellenic Museum. And if you want to, it is actually on the free tram route. And they talk about that, and they talk about the originality of the building as being the Mint previously, and then it's been converted to the Hellenic Museum. And once we get on our tourist list, people talking about Greek culture, it is a wonderful thing. So how do we bring Greeks back into the city? I think the city needs to. So I think the council needs, the city still needs to be sponsoring very actively the Lonsdale Street Gulendi, which is part of the Antipodes Festival in February. And there are so many activities that spread out from that. And I think if we can also strengthen other activities of the Antipodes program and keep it within the city, that actually brings the Greeks in. And that's what we need to do. And bring them in by the train and the public transport so they're not looking for parking.
And one last question. Have you thought of what your life would look like once you are elected?
I'm already very active in social service in the city with my membership through the Rotary Club of Melbourne. We do lots of projects with homeless in the city and various other organisations. And I see, if I was to be elected into the councillor's position on the council, I see really extension of those services into a different role, but actually a much more heightened role, because it's making much more direct impact into the city itself. And yes, life would be busy, but you know, why shouldn't it be? We're not going to sit around and do nothing. And I quite enjoy being part of the fabric of people who want to do things for others.